Turn with me this morning in your pew Bible to the book of Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read, starting at verse 1. The lesson this morning, though, is on verses 13 through 16. And that's going to be our focal point this morning about salt and light, if you haven't picked up on that already. But I want to bring to you Matthew chapter 5. How many of you know what Matthew chapter 5 is? Yep, Sermon on the Mount. Who's speaking here? The one and only Jesus Christ, all right? We're doing some things in youth group that we are studying the Word of God, and we're learning who's speaking to us and what's going on in the scenes and stuff like this. So this is Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, speaking to the people of God, and he's going to give the Sermon on the Mount, and we're going to get the Beatitudes, and then we're going to fold on the back half of this verses 13 through 16, which is the charge, is what we're going to get into this morning of what does it mean to love in sharing, all right? So that's the question we're going to answer this morning is, how do I love my church? It's by sharing. And now you might be wondering, well, what does it mean to share? And so that's what you're going to go home this morning, knowing what does God expect me to do in sharing my life? So let's learn that today. Let's read. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So Jesus just laid out all these principles of what it means to follow him. And then he goes on to say this, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way the persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now here's our message today that I want to focus on. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp or put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The reading of the Word. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here today that are watching, not only here in your house, but online today. May you bless them in the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may that Spirit bring this word to life in their own lives. Lord, may they be taught in the way that you want them to live this morning, Lord. May they be stretched in their faith journey and in what they think and what they know how to live this life, Lord. May you bring that to light, Lord, this morning. And we are thankful for the Spirit. Lord, may these words be mine and never, or excuse me, Lord, may these words be yours and never mine. And so the words that come from my lips, may they be your words to your people this morning. Lord, may you just bless us with your presence today. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. If you were to hear about a new restaurant, what are the two things that you would ask about? Anybody care to respond to that question this morning? How's the food? All right. What is the second thing that you'd be concerned about in a restaurant that was new that you're maybe trying for the first time that you might ask a question? How's the food? And then how's the service? You guys are so good. So you're right with me. That's exactly the question that we bring up, don't we? So it's all about our dining experience. How good's the food? How good's the service? And if you could put the word service into maybe a broader term this morning, I'm going to use the word atmosphere. How's the atmosphere in the restaurant? right? That might include your surroundings. It might include your service, all those types of things. So think about it in those terms this morning. Now I'm going to flip the script on you just a little bit. I want you to know that the church is the same way. How's the food? What are you getting fed spiritually? But how's the service? How's the atmosphere of the church? And when I say church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you. How's your service in sharing what Jesus done in your life? That's what I'm talking about this morning. We talk about sharing. So I want you to think of it in those terms this morning, because this is what God expected us, how he wants us to live our lives. Life in this community, and you can go beyond these walls as well, in his kingdom, should be lived out as it was meant to be, because Jesus has given us a new identity and a new set of values and ethics to live by. And some of those values, some of those ethics, I read to you this morning in Matthew chapter 5 out of the Beatitudes of how and what we should be living life like. So here's the question I want you to focus on this morning as we consider in this whole series that we've been doing. How do people come to this new life with God? Now, the simple short answer is it's the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives, okay? Now, I want you to go beyond that a little bit. I want you to go deeper in that question with me this morning of what that should look like. How do people hear? How do people discover? How do they experience the kingdom of God in their lives? That's what I want you to focus on this morning. And here is your answer this morning. The answer is you're the salt and the light. It's all about you and how you live your life. What do people see? What do people hear? What do they experience in your life? I want you to just take just a moment. God entrusts you and I to create the kingdom experience for others in the way that we live our lives. We learned this past year at Rocky Mountain High that God's plan A is us. There is no plan B. Some of you that went to Rocky this past year, you remember, Megan, I think, shared that with us. We are God's plan for a lost world, for a broken world. And I want to share with you two things this morning that give you this idea. Okay, what does it mean to be the salt and the light of the world? And so let's figure this out together. So there's two things I want to share with you. The first one's on the screen in the red box. You are the salt of the earth. And I have a salt shaker up here this morning. By the way, in case you kind of lose track of what are we talking about this morning. Salt brings taste. Salt is a flavoring agent. It brings taste to bland food. It preserves. If you don't like something, such as maybe mashed potatoes or gravy on there, or you got a hamburger or something like that, and it's a little bland, it's a little flat, or popcorn, what do you do to help flavor it a little more? You get the salt out, don't you? Pass the salt, right? It brings it more flavor. It brings you more joy. It lights up your taste buds in your life. So don't miss the metaphor that I want to share with you here this morning. And here it is. He's making it clear how necessary and how important we are for the welfare of the world. Because Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, we're the salt of the earth. We bring the goodness. We bring the joy. We bring what everybody's desiring to this world as we follow Jesus Christ. Why, you might ask? Because we've experienced a transformation in our lives through Jesus Christ. Amen? Jesus has changed the way that we live our lives and who we live for. And our presence is necessary as God's means of influencing a broken and sinful world. You are plan A. There's no plan B. You are it. That's the responsibility that you and I carry as a follower of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, it's exactly what he's talking about. If you're going to be a follower of Jesus, regardless of your status, regardless of your profession, the kingdom life that we possess is invaluable for the effect it will have in our daily circles of influence. And I want to focus on that a little bit this morning. You are the salt of the earth, and it's your duty to share that. That's the command that God gives you. Now, here's the second one this morning. You are the light of the world. I brought along a prop this morning. I'm going to see if I can get this going. Now, we went camping this past summer, and hopefully I don't blow us up. I had it going earlier. There we go. I'm going to let that burn for a little while. I want you to see that this morning. You are the light of the world. All right? Get that image in your head. Christian. That's how people see you as you follow Jesus Christ. All right? I think I can even turn it up and make it a little brighter. There we go. So get that image in your head this morning. Now, in Jesus' time, they had small oil lamps that they used to light their homes and their rooms. Now, you got to remember, they had a one-room house more than likely. And what they would do, and if you read the Bible with me this morning, no, he says, don't hide it. Put it on a stand, because the higher you get the light, the more it goes out, the more it shines in the room and lights things up. Even the smallest of lights in a very, very dark place can chase away darkness, can't it? In the same way that Jesus' life and his message of salvation brought light to us, which I read to you this morning in the book of Matthew about light into our lives. His disciples are a living demonstration of the arrival of the kingdom of heaven through Jesus Christ. When Jesus said, I am the light, I am the way to eternal life. So don't miss the metaphor this morning that I want to share with you, because light removes darkness in this world. We not only carry the light of the gospel of the kingdom of God, but you are the light. You are the hope to a broken world because of the work of the Spirit in your life. Our transformation has produced kingdom light in us, affecting every aspect of our being and the way that you live your life. And as salt and light, we bring the taste and the atmosphere of Jesus' kingdom to a broken world. I want you to think about this equation this morning. If food and atmosphere, if spiritual food, reading your scripture, coming to church, listening to the pastor, and the way that we live our lives for Jesus Christ equals experience. People experience something when they're in our midst. All right? Think about that in your life. Then the experience of the kingdom comes from his followers. Now, I want to challenge you this morning, the way that you live your lives and what's going on in there. I want you to think about some things this morning, because it amazes me to think that God entrusts you and I to be the salt and the light in this world. And I want to share a word with you this morning that maybe you don't hear a whole lot of. The Father trusts his people to curate his creation, to manage it, to care for it. Now, most of you remember my Genesis sermon series here not that long ago, but this is what he said to you and I, to the human race that he brought life to. He said, let them rule over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that moves along the ground. He established his kingdom through you and I. Jesus entrusts us to curate his culture. Now, let me define the word curate just a little bit more for you this morning, because this doesn't point at to me as a pastor. This points to his followers in Jesus Christ. He says this. This is what it means. You need to minister to it. You need to care for it. You need to pastor it in the way that you live your lives. Salt and light. We bring the taste. We bring the light. You bring Jesus to the community that you live in. People experience Jesus in the way that you live your life. So I want you to think about this just for a moment. How many of you are struggling with way, maybe the way that culture, or maybe the way that our community, and the direction that it's going, and you want something different for it? Think about that for a moment. Boy, that's getting a little hot over here. I gotta stand on this side. All right? If you don't like what's going on in your community, this is what I'm going to tell you. You need to salt it more. If you don't like what's going on in the culture, then you need to light it up more. People need to see the light of Jesus Christ in a dark world. Guess who that falls on, people, when you say, boy, I just don't like the evilness that's in the world today. And I want to say to you, church, it's your problem. Come to life. Because we're not doing our job of salt and light. Now, that lands kind of hard, doesn't it? I've heard many people say, it seems like evil's just right out there today. It's no longer in the shadows. My response to that today is this. Why isn't the light shining right next to it then? Why aren't God's people in the midst of things that are going on? Why are we on the sidelines? That's what I want to know. If your culture is bland and dark, then we need to get to salting and lighting in the way that Jesus wants us to live our lives. And so this is where we're going to kind of start this morning here. In case you didn't realize, we haven't really started the message yet, okay? We're just getting into it. I've laid the groundwork this morning. So how do we bring the I love my church experience to our culture? All right? I'm going to give you three key areas this morning. Three key areas this morning that I want you to work on, I want you to be aware of, and I want you to practice, okay? Practice. And practice means that you put it to work in your lives. So here's the first way. People will experience Jesus' community when we live its values. Now, I want you to think about Matthew chapter 5, which I just read to you, the Beatitudes this morning, because this all rolls together, all right? The Beatitudes are not the intro to the salt and light. It is the beginning of the message that Jesus Christ has given his disciples to tell them to go out into the world, all right? It all comes together. So here's how I want to break it down to you this morning. It's somewhat on your screen. But Matthew 5, 2 through 10, those are the values of the kingdom. He says, this is how I want you to live. All right, and I wrote a few of those down. Meekness, be merciful, hunger for righteousness, be pure in heart, be peacemakers. You're going to get persecuted. Know that all those things are going to happen. That's how he calls us to live our lives. And then he gives us the promise in verses 11 and 12 that you're going to go through some tough things, but there's a reward. And then he says, this is how I want you to do it. Here's the charge. This is how you need to live life. This is what I expect from you if you're going to follow me as your Lord and Savior. In verses 13 through 16, the salt and the light metaphors come out of those Beatitudes. Because Jesus has brought the kingdom of God through regeneration and renewal by the Spirit, because he's transformed you and I, because we've decided to be followers of Jesus Christ, not the ways of this world. And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you will have meekness, you will have righteousness, you'll have mercy, you'll have purity, and you will live at peace. This is the kingdom life of God that he puts in us. that we need to demonstrate to the world. That's the first way. The Beatitudes are a character profile for you and I of how to live our lives. That's what Jesus is expecting. So seasoning and shining isn't only about the message we declare with our lips. It's about how you go about your daily life. That's what it looks like. It's not just Sunday. Our lifestyle is the emphasis here this morning of what we're doing. How are we living? Being salt and light is about the message we declare with our actions, our reactions, and everything in between. And let me share this with you this morning. You cannot separate message from lifestyle. You all send a message every day of your life. And I think I have a question down. I'll wait to ask that. You just meditate on that just for a little bit here this morning. You cannot separate message from lifestyle. The values that you possess, the values that you live in the kingdom, they bring the flavor to a bland and rotting world. The values in you as you live the kingdom bring the light to the darkness. People experience the kingdom of God when you live its values. You're on display every day, Christian. People are watching you. If they know you're a follower of Jesus Christ, they'll see how you react to things. They'll hear the way that you talk. They know the words that you use on a daily basis. And let me just throw this out there this morning. If you're one of those guys or gals that likes to throw around a cuss word once in a while, why? Why? You say you're a follower of Jesus Christ, why do you do that? Why do you live like that? Because that's not what the Beatitudes claim. People experience the kingdom of God and the way that you live your life. Here's the second way this morning. Now, these two are pretty close. So you got to kind of see the difference. Now, let me just read them so you get the gist of it. Okay, here's the first one. People will experience Jesus' community when we live its values. All right? Now, notice it's talking about the people there this morning. Now, here's the second one this morning. We live the values of Jesus' community in our daily, ordinary lives. Okay? Now, there's a slight difference there, but you'll see it when I explain it to you. You'll understand it. Let me start with the story first because I think it'll help you understand. Anybody see that bottle of soy sauce on the screen this morning? I have a true story for you. This happened about 5 or 6 years ago. There was a young man that was being dared by his buddies to drink a whole quart of soy sauce. Okay, anybody ever had soy sauce in here? Did you know that soy sauce is very heavy on sodium or salt? And did you know that it is toxic to you when you drink too much? So he drank this whole entire bottle of soy sauce, and he passed out, and he went into a coma for 3 days, and the doctor said more than likely he's going to have neurological damage, he's not going to be able to function anymore if he survives. Too much salt. Toxic. Affects your brain. Some of you are nurses in here, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. And what miraculously, this young man woke up 3 days later, and he was totally fine. Miracle. A miracle. Now you say, well, why do you share this story? I share the story because it applies directly to how we live our lives. This is what I want you to be aware of. We are called to bring salt and light to our world so that they experience the kingdom, not so that they can be blinded by the light or overdeed on salt in their lives. Some of us blind people by the light, and we overdee them on salt when we think we're going to bring Jesus Christ to them. Now, let me give you an example of that. I have another picture on the screen this morning that has this, I'm not sure what's all going on in the background there, but it's an environment that is not very, I'll call inviting for Jesus Christ to be in, but he's there, and there's a person in the middle of that crowd that's holding up a sign that says what on it? Repent, receive Jesus, mercy, right? You've seen people say, Jesus saves, and they have these signs in these crowded public areas, and nobody's paying attention to them and stuff like that. And you often wonder, is that effective? I don't know, because Jesus can work in many ways, but you don't see a lot of people falling to their knees and praying and shouting and saying, Jesus saves, I repent of my sins. You don't see any of that. Because often people think, well, if I just give them a good old dose of Jesus, they're going to come around. And the problem is that we might be overdeeing on them. You might be just blasting them out of the water so bright that they get offended. And here's my point this morning, people. If you want to be salt and light, what Christ is trying to tell us here, just live your life for him. You're on display every day. That's all it is. The message of the sign, that's point on. I don't disagree with it at all. Repent, Jesus saves. Amen, right? Do you get what I'm talking about? You can't shove it down somebody's throat. You need to live life with them. They need to experience who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's how you're the salt of the world. That's how you bring light into the darkness. Let me give you an example of seasoning and shining. It's in the trivial day-to-day stuff. It's at the office. It's at the school, student. How many of you go to the gym and exercise? Right? A couple. Yeah, some of our younger people do. Good for you guys. I'm not a gym person, sorry. But it's in the mundane things of life as we live life. It's on the farm. It's in the hospital room if you're a nurse, whatever. Wherever you might be, it's in your daycare, it's in your home. It's wherever that God places you. It's about your coworkers. It's about your classmates. It's about your neighbor. It's about your family. It's the people that you run into on a daily basis. People experience the kingdom of heaven from you in the normal of everyday life. That's what it means to be salt and light. So here comes the hard question. What are you sharing with your life? What's on display? What are people seeing? What are people experiencing from you as a follower of Jesus Christ? And get this, I don't ever expect you to be perfect, or myself. You're going to fall short. You're a sinner, just like I am. But by the grace of God, we got work to do, church, in the way that we love our church, in the way that we love our community. And it's not always easy. It's not always fun. God puts some difficult, hard things in front of us, and he says, you need to work through this. And what the great thing is that why do I ask this question? Right? Why did I come off that second point there? And here's why. Let me give you this question next. Those who have truly experienced Jesus will help others experience Jesus. How many of you want to take your family and friends to heaven? I often ask that question in church, don't I? All of you do. Because you see what Jesus can do for your lives, and you want eternal life in heaven with them. All of you want to do that. And so you have a desire to share those things. I want you to think about broken relationships for a moment. I want you to think about a prodigal child for a moment. Maybe you have one in your family. They're not going to church. What are they experiencing from you? Is it a quart of soy sauce? Or is it mercy and meekness and forgiveness and grace in your life? I want you to wrestle with that today too. For those of you that have prodigals in your family, you got a son or daughter that's not in church, or maybe you got issues that you're not sure what to deal with at home. And where's God in the midst? What's on display in your own life? What are they seeing? What are they experiencing? And then, don't stop here. Your work is outside these walls on a weekly basis, on a daily basis, wherever God's placed you. I want you to think back with me the very first week we started this series. I shared a verse with you from John 13, verse 35. I'm going to read it to you. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's the basis of this whole series. Here's another challenge I want to make with you this morning. How can people observe us having a reputation of love if we don't put ourselves out there? How many of you have friends and people that you know that are not believers, that don't go to church on a regular basis? Yeah, thanks for admitting that. Did you know that God calls you to live in those relationships all the time? People that don't believe, people that aren't in church. God says that's where you need to be spending your time. Not only the church, but those people who need to hear and experience Jesus Christ. Right? I just read you a verse. All men, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another in Jesus Christ. You can't season and shine in your ordinary life if it's separated from the darkness of the world. You have to go in those tough places that God calls you to. How many of you know of a missionary? There's all kinds of missionary stories out there today of people that went into some pretty dark places. Some gave their lives for the word of Jesus Christ. Some have been persecuted greatly. Some have lost family members, children, all kinds of things. And I believe that they hang on that verse. You will know that you are my disciples because you have love for one another. I've taught you a lot of things this past series. How to love one another. It's not about this building. It's about relationships. It's about the people around you this morning. And here's what I also want to challenge you with. What are the ways that you can begin making connections with your neighborhood? Some of you do a great job. You're out there. You know your neighbors, you're involved in things in the community, you're involved in things in the church, you got all kinds of things going on, you're in, some of you have great relationship with your neighbors, and you share life together, you work together on things. Those are all good things, and I'm going to encourage you to keep going in those things, and if you're not there, I'm going to encourage you to venture out just a little bit. Venture out. God will meet you there. So let me bring this question to you. If our church ceased to exist, would the community miss it? Would they even know that we didn't have church next Sunday? And here's the real question. Would they miss you if you knew we're no longer part of our community? I'm not talking the church community, but the community that you and I live in every day. Would people miss you in the way that you live your life and the experience that they get from you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Because you bring hope, you bring mercy, you bring grace, you bring a listening ear to those who are hurting and have need. Would people miss you? Does anybody know what the third core value of this church is? I don't have a sign up today. What is it? Reach. What do you think reach means? So stick out your hand next to the, shake your partner's hand next to you this morning. Reach. All right? Everybody grab a hand. Now it's okay if you're both, Hang on to it. Don't let go. So here's the lesson I want you to know about this morning. You've reached across to your to a child or to a neighbor or a spouse or a friend. But I want you to think about in your mind this morning, who else do you need to be reaching out to and holding on to in their lives? Because they need you. They need the light. They need the salt for whatever's going on in their lives. How many of you know, by the way, don't let go of that hand yet. How many of you know somebody that's hurting today, that's lost a loved one, that just got diagnosed with cancer, or whatever it might be? I want you to think about that person today. I want you to, you can let go now. I want you to pray for that person today. And I want you to also ask the next hard question. God, what do you want me to do with this situation? And then, when he says, I want you to go there. I want you to go there and see that person. And just ask, how are you? I'm just here to talk to you. I've been praying for you. That's what I want you to do. That's how you love a community. That's how people experience the love of Jesus Christ. Will you do that this week? That's a big assignment. But you should live that way every day of your life. May we live that way. And me included. Because sometimes it's hard. Really, God? Go to him? Yeah. That's what he says. Because blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who have mercy for others. Blessed are those who seek righteousness. For their reward is great, right? Heaven awaits. And all God's people said, amen. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, the charge is not easy. Salt and light. Lord, may we live it. And Lord, if we're not living it, may we start today in some small way to be who you call us to be. Lord, may we love our church, our people, relationships well. Lord, we've learned quite a bit over this last few weeks, and a lot of times, Lord, those are difficult, hard places to do, especially in a growing church, because we don't know so many people. But this is the best way to get to know them. And Lord, I also pray, Lord, that for some of us, that we're introverts. We don't like being out in the public. We don't like meeting new people. We're scared of those things, and we retreat back. Lord, may you call us out in some way and give us opportunity to minister to somebody that needs to hear from us this week. And Lord, may we have the ability to recognize what you're doing in the midst of those things. Lord, just bless us today. We thank you for Jesus' sermon today and how he taught us to live life. In whom I pray, amen.